Hey, Brent, are you on? Actually, yeah, Trey. Go to the back. Hold up those bulletins. Everyone have one of those yellow bulletins? Raise your hand if you didn't get one, because the actually the scripture passages that are on there. I'm not going to ask you to turn to the Bible today. I just wrote it out in some three different parts and might be confusing. But it's been a little while since I've been here. My name is Peter, I'm one of the pastors here, but some of you guys don't even know me, because I'm not here that much. I took a little break over the summer because I'm really behind in school. So I can use, ask for prayer. But I'm on my own now. I wasn't listening. But I had to work on some stuff. Hey, guess what? In 3 days, we're going to have a birthday. Senior Life Church is turning 8 years old in 3 days. So, September 18th, 2005, we set up a bunch of chairs at the community center, Cedar Chavez Community Center, and we prayed that people would come, and people came, and it's kind of interesting. There's a bunch of you guys who were there right at the beginning. It's Rico's not here today, but it's funny. The reason why we actually got Rico started coming to church is he got paid to come to the church because he actually got paid by the city of Long Beach to come to church because he worked for the Department of Rec. And he actually opened the door and he was like, "You guys have a church? Well, I'm gonna start coming to church then." He was getting paid to open the doors, and a lot of you guys that are here right in the beginning, Brenda and Dorothy and Angela and Bertha, and a lot of people right here in the beginning. I know there's others, I'm sorry if I didn't mention you, but Ron, just right here in the beginning, and it's just interesting. As we're looking back, and we're marking another year, what I want to do today is just kind of look back and talk about who we are and just what maybe God wants us for the future in this coming year. And for me, it's been a real wild ride. I mean, honestly, Tom and I talked about it. At the same time, it was everything we expected and nothing we expected. You know, at the same time, we're actually accomplishing what God, we feel like God put on our heart to accomplish to start a church. If you look at our old documents, we wanted a church that to love the city, to be ethnically diverse, and to be welcoming. But honestly, we didn't think it would be this hard. We used to have some great, amazing experiences and see people's lives change and hear your testimonies. But also, there are some troubling, difficult seasons, low, heartbreaking experiences. I mean, I remember when we first started, there was a guy that used to come, he had some mental problems, and he came. And he would get up in the middle of service and bark at me. You guys remember that? Bark at me. I'm like, I have no idea how to handle that. They didn't teach me that in school. How do you handle what a dude like sits up and starts rah, rah, rah. And then I was like, I don't know. Help me, Jesus. Right? Remember that? Right? Before we started, Tom would tell you this, right? We had a demon-possessed guy come in and talk about wanting to kill everyone. And stuff, right? This one we're getting a coffee shop. And Tom was like the bouncer sitting right next to him. I was like, man, if he was gonna go out with Tom, you gonna do one of these? I don't know, right? It's a real heartbreaking period. I mean, there was a month there, but we lost two people. We lost Doris and Sandra in the same month. We lost them. It was just we're feeling like a week, Doris sang at Sandra's funeral, and then that day we took Doris to the hospital, and then I was like, it was terrible, right? I don't do a lot of funerals, I looked like a baby, Pastor, you're not supposed to do that, right? You're supposed to be strong. I was crying, I didn't know what to do, right? People were like, are we gonna pay this guy? He can do a good job, it's embarrassing. This is what I want to say. I'm confident that the best is yet to come. I'm confident. I believe God has a plan for City Lights Church to make a difference in this city and to bring Him glory. I mean, I bet money on that. If I had any money, I bet money on that. That the best is yet to come, and God is going to use us more than you know, more than you think. One of the things is in our programs on the back side, it has a statement that we usually talk about all the time. It says our mission. What's our mission? Three things: loving God, loving each other, and serving our city and making a difference. Now we talk about that. It's what we do. But this is the thing. What I want to talk about is not talk about what we do. I think that question, what do we do, is a good question. But I think a more important question is the question, who are we?
Yeah.
Right? Who are we? Who is City Life Church? Because City Life Church is not just a place you go to. City Life Church is not a worship service that you participate in. It's not a building. City Life Church is a people. Right? So we need to ask a different question. Who are we? Who is City Lights Church? And the thing is, if we always focus on what we do, you know, that's just ritual. That's, you know, that's just religion. And it has nothing to do with who we are inside. And I was thinking, how do we define success? How do we know if we're doing a good job? You know, if God said, hey, you know, looking down on us and said, man, you guys are faithful. And I mean, do we define success by our resources, the building that we have, the size, the activity, we got this program, that program? Is that how we define success? I think the real way we define success is this, is that first we need to know who we are, and secondly, we need to be true to who we are, right? That's how we define success. And the thing is, the question that we have, I have, is, are we true to who we are? And I remember I was trying to teach this concept to my kids. And sometimes my kids are like, how come we gotta go to church? And sometimes it's kind of boring and whatever. It's like, and I remember one of my kids gave me a little attitude one time and says, well, the only reason we go to church is you're the pastor, we have to. Right? You know, and I said, No, it's not that we have to, it's not what we have to do, it's not because we're obligated. It's who we are, darling. We are a Christian family, and we worship Jesus together. So if I didn't get paid to do this, we're going to be in church someplace, okay? So don't give me this attitude that it's just because you're a pastor's kid. So I was like, it's who we are, all right? It's just who we are. You just got to get over it, right? It's who we are. So this is what I want to do. I got three verses to read to you. I want to go on and define in a sentence who we are, and I want to talk about this next year, kind of commitment, our challenges for the coming year. Can you read these verses? Revelation chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to read them all through, and then I'll explain what they mean. Okay, this is talking about Jesus. This is the people in heaven worshiping Jesus. Okay, at the end of time, Revelation says, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, you have made us kings and priests to our God." Ephesians chapter 2 says this, "And he," that's Jesus, "he came and he preached to you, peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. And for through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir of God through Christ. So who is City Lights Church, okay? There's a sentence there, there's three going to blank. This is City Lights Church. This is my definition of City Lights Church. We are a people redeemed by God, adopted into his family, and given a mission to fulfill. We are a people redeemed by God, adopted into his family, and given a mission to fulfill. And this is, I just want to break down this definition about who we are. The first thing is we are people redeemed by God, right? And in Revelation, that first one, it says, Jesus, you were slain, you were killed, your blood was shed, and you have redeemed to God by your blood. That you have bought, to redeem means that you have bought something back. And in the context of this time, it means bought back from slavery. Okay? Back then they had slaves, but a little bit different type of slaves. Back then they had what they call indentured servants, okay? And the rule was say you were a farmer and your daughter was getting married and you had no money to put on a wedding, you're like, you know what? My crop is coming up and I'm gonna have money when the harvest season comes. But right now I'm gonna go down to the money lender. I'm gonna borrow some money and I'm gonna pay him back when the harvest comes. And you borrow a bunch of this money back and you throw this wedding, but when harvest season comes, right, you got no harvest, there was a storm or a fire, you got no harvest, you got no money to pay this guy back. And they had this thing where, but if you owe someone that money, what you do is you become that person's slave for up to 6 years. Okay, and that was a cap. On the seventh year, you were set free. You could, that was called the year of Jubilee. You become their indentured servant, right? It wasn't that you were a slave for life, but to redeem is this. Your rich uncle says, man, what are you doing serving this guy? You got to go back home. You got family and kids. Let me pay off what you owe that guy, and let me buy you back from that guy so you can go home. Okay. So when it says that we have been redeemed, and by what? What was the cost? The cost was his blood. It wasn't money that Jesus bought us back. And he says in that second verse, Ephesians, it says he preached peace to those of you who are far off and those of you who are near. He says some of us, you have been redeemed. We've all been redeemed, but some of you have been redeemed and you are far off. You didn't know God. You were in the world. You were just messing up life, and just things are bad. Others of you, you grew up in a Christian home, and your mama made you come to church and put on a tie and all that stuff, and carry your Bible with a little strap on it and all that stuff. Your mom made you do all that, go to Sunday school, but you needed to be redeemed too, but you were redeemed a little bit closer off. But it's interesting what he says is that all of you guys needed to be redeemed. And we are a people, this is what the gospel teaches us, that all of us, no matter if you're near or far, we are all guilty of sin. We're all separated from God. We all deserve death. This is the wages of sin is death. It says there's no good works you can do to pay your way out of that debt. But the gospel teaches us the good news is that even though we were sinners, that we were also loved by Jesus. Jesus came and he became our substitute. He paid for our penalty on that cross to buy us back from that sin. Right? So first off, we are people who are redeemed. We can't forget that. Right? A lot of times we come to church and we live life and we think when things don't happen the right way, we think we're like, God, how come you're not doing your job? I deserve better than this, right? We give God an attitude, and we're like, we forget we were slaves that have been redeemed. We didn't have rights before Jesus came into our life, right? We were rebels. We didn't have anything. We forget that we are a redeemed people. We're not people that God owes things to, you know, hey, you owe it to me, God. No. But we were people that were rebelling against God, and God redeemed us, right? But not only that's not the best part of it. Not only are we a people redeemed by God, we're people who have been adopted into his family. In Ephesians, it says this. The second part, it says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of God's household. Right? He says, you know, you guys used to be strangers and aliens and foreigners. You had no home. You had no rights. This is the thing. If you're a citizen of a country, you have some rights. If you were a foreigner, you didn't have any protection back then. And there's a story in the Bible that the Apostle Paul, he was preaching about Jesus. He went to this other town preaching about Jesus. They didn't like what he was saying. They say, who's this Jewish guy coming into town telling us about that we can't worship our God? Let's drag him. So they drug him to the center of the town. They picked up rocks and they're about to smash his head with the rocks. And Paul says, hey, hold up. I'm a Roman citizen. They're like, what? He's a Roman citizen? Oh, we can't. You can't do that to Romans. We thought he was just some Jewish boy. So he's a Roman. If we kill a Roman, we're going to be in trouble. But if he was a foreigner, do whatever we want to a foreigner. But he's a citizen. He has his rights. He needs to go to a trial because, and this thing, citizens have rights. Strangers, a foreigner, don't have rights. And it says here, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but you're citizens. Right? But not only are you citizens, you are members of God's household. Now you're not just a citizen. You're a member. You're part of God's family, right? Galatians 4 it says this, that Jesus, when the fullness of time came, he came to redeem us that we might receive. The word is adoption as sons, right? And it says that because you are sons, you could call God Abba, Abba. Right, that's the most dearest term that you could call a person. Abba means daddy, daddy. Says, and then the last sentence says, therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir. And this is what it says, you are adopted into a family. Remember where you started. You started as a slave. He redeemed you. But he didn't redeem you and put you to work. He redeemed you and said, I'm going to change your name from slave to son, to daughter. You're part of my family. And not only are you part of my family, you get all the rights and privileges as part of my family. You get to be an heir. Everything I own is yours now because you're part of my family, right? We are adopted. And let me ask you, what did you do to earn your adoption? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. You got to remember that. We it's something that God has done for us. We have been adopted in this family, right? And it's a transformative thing. That once we were called slave, now we're called son, right? We have heir. We're adopted into this family. But not only that, we have been given a mission to fulfill. And we got a job to do. Right? It doesn't earn, if we don't do this job well, it doesn't mean that we stop being sons and daughters. No. But God, he gave us a job. Revelation, that first passage of scripture, the last section, it says, out of every tribe, tongue, and people, and nation, and he rescued us and have made us kings and priests. Right? So not only this, you were a slave. Have been redeemed. Now God calls you son, and you're an heir. He says, now, guess what? I'm making you a king. I'm making you a priest. We start off being slaves. Now we become children. Now he gives you the title. You're a king. You're a priest. Now our job is to be God's representative on this earth, to represent him, to be his body. Like, you know, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus is the head and the church is the body. And the head tells the body what to do. But Jesus is not walking around physically on this earth. And he doesn't need to because we are his body. Right? And we have a mission to fulfill. He made us kings and priests to go out there and be a blessing, to be his representatives on this earth. Okay? So that's who we are. We are city lights. We are people redeemed by God, adopted into his family, and given a mission to fulfill. Now, let me talk about our commitments, our challenges, for what I want to challenge you to in this coming year. First challenge is this. I want you to commit to following God. I want you to commit to following God. Some of you are on the fence about even following Jesus as your Lord and Savior, giving Jesus your life and receiving that forgiveness. And I want to say, if you've never made that decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to decide, okay? But I know many of us have, but this is what I want to say. that you need to commit to following God. Following God isn't just coming to church. I didn't say you just got to come to church and get busy and do stuff. Following God is about listening to God, hearing God, and obeying God. It's when we have to seek out, when we actually go to the Bible and go to prayer and says, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? You know, and we seek him, we obey him, and when Jesus tells us, well, today I want you to go over here and to do this, we have to follow him, we have to make adjustments in our lives, right? So I want you to commit to following God, to hearing from God, and this is the thing. I know right now, there's those of you sitting in this room, God has been speaking to you loud and clear. You hear the voice of God. I'm not talking about audible voice, but you know God speaks to you. You know God. You know it is God. You know exactly what he wants you to do, but you're not following him. Right? So I want you to make this commitment. If we're going to be who we say we are, that we're you know, a people redeemed, adopted, and you know, have a mission, we need to commit to following God, okay? Number two, challenge, our second challenge is this. Commit to God's family. Commit to God's family. Church is not, is the family of God. Church is not a consumer organization. A lot of people come to church and people think it's like a restaurant. You come here, people wait on you, and they serve. You sit down, and you expect people, you know, the music was good, and, you know, if the music's not good, I'm gonna go someplace else. Preaching's not that good, I'm gonna go someplace else. If they don't do this, you know, because you see church as a customer sees going to a restaurant, right? That's not committing to God's family. This is what I want to say to you. For those of you guys who've been around, I know a lot of people commit here, but I want to ask you to invest in City Lights Church. Invest in your family. Commit to God's family. To serve. To give to God's family. You know, do you know, not a single one of the staff here, we all have outside jobs and we do all this other stuff, right? We take sacrifices to serve here, but I want to ask you to do the same, to stop consuming. But this, not only this, you need to be committing to God's family is committing to know others and to allow yourself to be known by others. Right? We walk around with masks. You know, maybe people heard us in the past. We don't want to open up. Right? But committing to the family means you need to commit to loving others and allowing others to love you. Right? To pry with people. To support people when they're in need, you know, and tell people when you're in need so that you can receive support, right? Committing to God's family is a lot deeper than coming to church an hour a week, right? It's about how you see yourself, who you do life with. So I want to challenge you to commit to God's family. Thirdly, commit to God's mission. Commit to God's mission. God has an assignment for each one of us, and I bet there's a handful of you who know exactly what that assignment is. God wants me to go do this. God wants me to go talk to this person. God wants me, and his assignment for you may be real specific. I want you to go to your dad who hurt you, and I want you to offer him forgiveness and pray for him and tell him that Jesus loves him. That's your assignment. You're like, no, I can't do that. God has an assignment to you. Sometimes it's hard. You got to make adjustments, but you got to commit to following God's assignment, commit to God's mission. Right? We as a church, we have a mission. Our mission here is to make a difference in this city. Right? I mean, we don't have grand scheme, grand plans about all this crazy stuff. We're going to start here with this little corner of the city, and we hope that the people in this block know about Jesus. Right? That's our mission. And so, I mean, that's a lot. You know, committed to following God, committed to his family, committed to mission. So where do we start, okay? If you wanted one place to start, I'm not saying it's the most important, but I think it is the most strategic, okay? If you were wondering, okay, Pastor, that's a lot. Where do you think I should get started? I should get started with number two, committed to God's family. I think that's the most strategic, because this is the thing. God's family will help you pursue God. God's family will help you find and pursue God's mission for your life. A lot of us, we try to do this thing on our own. I follow Jesus on my own. I go out, I try to make a difference on my own. And it's hard on our own. There's this pastor, famous pastor, I think he passed on. His name is Fred Crack. And he has a sermon that I listen to every now and then. And seriously, every time I listen to it, because he expresses something that I just desire so much to experience. He talked about when he was young, he was just getting started in ministry. He took on this little church in rural Tennessee. And in his first year, they had this tradition. He found out that they had this tradition on Easter. They would go to the lake and have a baptism service at the lake and have a barbecue, cookout, sing songs, and do all this stuff on Easter just at the lake, right? And he said he was in there and he was baptizing people. And people were on the shore clapping, and they built the fire. And it says that the people, after they got baptized, they came into the circle, warmed themselves by the fire. It was a small little church. And the people were introduced, the new people who got baptized were introduced into Mike. This is my name, this is where I came from, and I'm glad to be a part of the church. And then as new people introduced themselves, a funny thing happened. He says all the people who they were in the middle, right? They were in the middle of the circle. And all the people and the church members did this thing. It was this tradition they did. Each one of them introduced themselves, and they said, "My name is blank." And they would say, "If you ever need blank, call on me." And each one of them would say, "My name is blank. If you ever need someone to help you with washing and ironing, call on me. My name is, and if you ever need someone to chop wood, call on me. My name is, if you ever need anyone to babysit, call on me. My name is, if anything's ever broke at your house, call on me. My name is, if you ever need anyone to help you when you're sick, call on me. My name is, if you ever need a car to go into town, call on me." And the new pastor, he saw this. He never experienced anything like this before. And he looked, and he says, after they did that ritual, they prayed, and they sat down and had barbecue lunch, and they even did a little square dance, it was Tennessee, so they're, doing their skip to my blue, I don't know what they're doing, right? And then as they were getting ready to leave, the pastor was like, "I've never experienced anything like this." People were leaving, and he was just, wow. And then one of the elders, the deacons, came up to him, and this is what he said, and he read it from the sermon. So he looked at me and said, "Craddock," that's his name, Fred Craddock, "Craddock, folks don't ever get any closer than this." And Fred Craddock said, in that community, they have a name for that. I've heard it in other communities too. In that community, their name for that is church. They call that church. In this community, I want that to be called City Lights. And Fred Craddock goes on and says, one of the most important things you can do is write a list. And he says, think of all the people that God put in your life and write a name. Who do you thank God for? Write a name. Then write another name. Then write another name. And make a list of all the people God put in your life. And he says, that list should be the most precious thing to you. He says, you got to take that list wherever you go. If you move to a new town, you got to take that list with you. You get in trouble, you got to keep that list close. Even in an emergency, if you got to leave your car, a tornado's coming, you got to take that list. He says, even when you die, you got to take that list with you. And he goes on, he says, this is what I'm reading from his sermon. He says, I know, when you get to the gate, see what Peter's going to say. Now look, you went into the world with nothing, you're going to come out with nothing. What do you have there? He says, "Well, I just have a list." "Well, what's on that list?" "That's just some names." "Well, let me see." It's just a list of some names, people I lived with, I worked with, just folk that helped me. "Well, let me see that list." It's just a group of people that if it weren't for them, I would have never made it. He says, well, I want to see that list. And he gives over the list. He says, and finally, I gave it to him. And St. Peter smiles and says, well, I know all of that. Well, in fact, I just saw them. I just passed by. I just saw them on my way to the gate. And they were all getting together and painting a big sign to hang over the street that said, welcome home. That's what they call church. And this is what I want. We don't need a big building. We don't need a big band. We don't need all that stuff. We got everything we need. We are people redeemed by God, adopted into His family. We've been given a mission. So the question is, who are we? And are we being true to who we are? Let me give you a closing thought. So the one thing that can help you most to fulfill your commitment to following God and to fulfilling His mission is the list. The list. Lord Jesus, we thank you that by your blood we have been redeemed, that we no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters. Lord, we're no longer just sons and daughters, but we are kings and priests. Lord, we thank you so much. We pray that you would help us to know who we are and help us to act like who we are. Help us to be the family of God. Help us to love one another. Help us to love you. Help us to serve our city. We thank Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
If you were listening today and said, yeah, I want that. I want that in my life. I want to be a part of that. And maybe you've been coming to City Lights for a while and you've never really committed and just been checking things out. That's totally fine. You can just check things out. But if you've been coming for a while and say, no, hey, count me in. I want to be a part of that. I want to point out to you that we have something that we call a Count Me In Covenant. And there's a sheet of paper in the back on the brown table by the door back there that if you say, hey, I want to be a part of that, count me in. There's a covenant there for you to read over, and that represents the leading of your heart. You want to be a part of what's going on here and make this your church home and be counted in on that sort of relationship that Tina was talking about this morning. Tear off the little bottom, fill it out, and stick it in an offering box. Let us know, count me in. And we keep a list of people we know we can count on, people we need to follow up on and be there for, and know that we can follow, that we can count on when things go down. So if that's you, I'll point you to that count me in covenant. Also, there's an offering box in the back. If anyone came prepared to give or got prepared to help to give, just slide in the box. We don't pack baskets or anything like that. So if you want to give, it just goes in that black box in the stand. That is it for our service today. Thank you so much for coming. We have to clear out of this room because Shoreline Church is coming in. We're going to be good tenants and be out of this room for them. So I want to encourage you to transfer next door. We're going to have snacks next door in the fellowship hall. There we can hang out and know each other a little better. But God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here today.
Sure.
No.
What?
I didn't know you were asking.
I was asking anybody who wanted to answer.